Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to another Top 10 Debate. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to discuss ridiculous ways WWE champions lost their titles. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcast where we review Raw, SmackDown, the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. But as I said, myself and Michael Hamflett are here to talk about ridiculous ways people lost their titles. And the whole list is available to read right now at whatculture.com. But I think normally I ask what the catalyst for the list was, or what the inspiration, where it all came from. I think I know this. I think this is still a hangover from when the New Day and Street Profits just went, you want these tag titles? Was that what drove this?
What's the inspiration for this list, Hamflett? Oh, it's disgust, Wilborn. It's absolutely pure disgust. I'm wearing a blue hoodie to record this. People can't see on the Skype call. So I don't know why I'm not doing this with Phil rather than you, because Phil does SmackDown. So surely I must be working that podcast, shouldn't I? Yeah, coloured leather straps determining what champions should be now, no longer about the matches they've won, the title defenses, but the color of the leather on the straps. For those that might have missed this, I would imagine not too many because it was so recent, but WWE wanted to separate Big E from Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston to give his singles run a go on SmackDown. So off they went to Raw, but they were the SmackDown tag team champions. It was deemed that having two sets of champions on one show would have been a bit daft. But rather than having either the New Day, before they left, lose the titles, or Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, the Street Profits, lose their titles on Raw before their own trip over to SmackDown, Adam Pearce had a solution, Wilborn. The postman always delivers, does he not?
Yeah.
And he delivered the solution. We're going to swap the belts. Swap them. And there's an image that I've actually included in the list if people want to go and have a look. There's a couple of images doing around, but it was, there's this, you know that, remember often discredited Sky reporter Kay Burley referring to a dog with sadness in his eyes to try and add drama to a picture where there was none. There was sort of confusion in the eyes of Xavier Woods. And Montez Ford was wearing glasses that I think masked his own contempt for the situation he found himself in. It was Kofi Kingston having been made to lay down to Brock Lesnar in like 7 seconds. It was like, hey, nothing matters. Absolutely nothing matters. That seemed the most content to go along with this clandestine arrangement. I was really appalled with this. And the list title, just to make it clear to anybody that thinks we bait for clicks, which we do not, was that this was a list on ridiculous ways WWE championships lose their titles. My argument was, well, none of them look like winners, do they? All of these, they weren't winning new titles by moving shows. They were losing the ones they had because they no longer matched the ropes. That's the extent of which that these champions were willing to fight for their titles.
Like, I realise that the championships have changed shows in the past and stuff, but can you imagine John Cena arrives on Monday Night Raw, but first he's got to do the admin of swapping a belt with Steve.
Like, they have acknowledged that this is a thing, right? and it got a bit of derision at the time, but I like aesthetics of pro wrestling, and I quite liked it. They found quite a creative way to fix the red universal title problem, didn't they, when The Fiend got drafted to SmackDown. They had Bray Wyatt in the Firefly House magic a new belt. Like, we had that blue universal title belt that now we've all become accustomed to.
Yeah.
And one thinks if they switch it back, they'll find a way to unearth the red one again. I think that's all right. I sort of get that because the belt itself has traveled, but it's a title. It's something that even Bray Wyatt himself understood the prestige of before he made a bum bag with his own face on and called that a belt. But even he understood the prestige of that, and he wanted that title. So he traveled with it and kept it and just happened to change the colour. I've got patience for things like that. I've got less patience for wrestlers just swapping them as if, like the children in playgrounds that would swap cards with their pictures on. That was what those belts meant to those wrestlers in that moment.
Talking of creative ways to take titles off people or to change them somewhat, let's talk about The Rock, because he's been involved in quite a few of these scenarios. One of them, I thought, looking back, was creative, but also if it had happened on Raw, we'd have dumped all over it. And that is Mankind saying I quit, but not saying I quit.
Yeah, it was a little bit cheeky, this. You're probably right. I think we'd be crueler to it now than people were at the time. But that is often, you know, what happens when you are in the middle of trusting the process. And by 1999, even though the process was Vince Russo's chaotic one and it would have a shelf life, we absolutely trusted the process. Mick Foley said he wasn't going to quit. And who were any of us to doubt Mick Foley? That was the one thing he didn't do. He had donated his body to the industry by this point. This was months removed from him getting thrown off the cell by The Undertaker. He'd taken numerous other horrendous bumps as the Mankind character, and indeed, I guess, as Cactus Jack and Dude Love as well. And he put The Rock, very much like Eddie Kingston did to John Moxley earlier this year, in an unwinnable situation. I will not quit. So The Rock had to find a way to do it. And obviously, as everybody knows, battering him 20 times in the head with a steel chair, couldn't get it done. Their creative finish was to set up a match that would happen at halftime heat. So the pay-per-view was used as a way to drive a match for television ratings where they did a title switch. Again, these are all things that I think we'd be a lot more caustic towards now. But when your product's hot, you're kind of allowed to get away with stuff. And this was an example of that. This was positioned more as a heel doing a particularly heelish thing. And you can contextualize it. He had to render Mankind so defeated that he couldn't stand up while the recording was playing out. I was like, I'm not actually saying that. Look, it's a Milli Vanilli job. They're just playing that through a speaker. So the storyline goes, well, The Rock had to decimate him with that chair in order to get into a position where he could have the recording played. So it loosely ties together with logic. But yeah, now I don't think they'd get away with that one.
No.
On a pay-per-view, no less.
And he also, The Rock, won a title later by pinning someone's father-in-law.
Do you want to have one guess whose father-in-law that might be?
Dead.
Triple H, man. Triple H and The Rock traded the WWE title in 2000. Again, hot product, hottest up until 2020. Commercial and creative peak of WWE. They'd had a fantastic feud that, if you remember, Triple H was permitted to win at WrestleMania because they were smart enough to think, we can do the singles match at Backlash and nearly draw a pay-per-view buy rate so great. And they did. Backlash did a monster number. Then they thought, we can do this again for an hour at Judgment Day. And they did. And Triple H won the belt back and The Undertaker returned. So the last fall in an Iron Man match was a disqualification and nobody batted an eyelid because it was awesome.
Yeah.
Just euphoric delirium that an Iron Man match ended on a disqualification fall and Triple H winning the belt back on a DQ. Like, none of that mattered. And they got away with that again here. But you have to track that back through. The Rock was defeated at WrestleMania. The Rock and The Rock alone lost an Iron Man match at Judgment Day. And when it came time for Triple H to lose the story, absolutely conclusively, the feud is over. The Rock's going to leave with the belt. He's defeated Triple H. The hero's conquered. Hey, he beats his father-in-law instead. Triple H spins off into a different program with Kurt Angle, who, of course, was trying to steal the affection of Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah.
Having never laid down at the very end another, like we could do a 10 list of these one day.
Yeah.
Ways in which Triple H creatively lost feuds without ever losing. This was another one of those.
I just remember looking back on this and going, like, there's a great compilation of like the promos in and around, you know, Royal Rumble 2000 all the way throughout that year. And just thinking, yeah, it's kind of bollocks where Vince just goes, yeah, if me or Shane get pinned, you can be world champion.
Yeah, it's it was, again, it was the sort of thing that I think people would be angry at now. Although I will say, King of the Ring 2000, where that match took place, it's remembered more for anybody that doesn't remember it, Undertaker, Chuck, slamming Shane off the post through the table.
Yeah.
That was such a cool moment that Vince, midway through taking the rock bottom, looked, saw it midair and thought, 16 years later, I want to put them in Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania. I think they can go. It happened amid such chaos that people were just glad to see The Rock win the belt again. But King of the Ring 2000 was kind of broke a streak other than WrestleMania, in that it was one of the only pay-per-views from that first half of the year that people didn't really like. It didn't hold up as well as Judgment Day or Backlash or some of those other shows we talked about, the Royal Rumble, as you mentioned, certain like legendary favourites. So people were a little bit pissy with it, but then it was just too good. WWE was too good. You would let them off with stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And like you say, these things sort of balance out when it comes to Triple H winning the title from his best mate.
Oh God.
Take us through this one.
I mean, it's good patter, but there's a nasty, nasty twist in this tale. In December, Shawn Michaels, a month after, of course, winning the WWE Championship at the Survivor Series, as a result of the Montreal Screwjob, was walking around with two belts. The European Championship had already become a trinket to him, but DX were getting in the face of Sergeant Slaughter, the commissioner at the time. And he said, right, I've got a plan. I'm going to get in the middle of you two jerks. You're going to put your European title on the line against Triple H, your best friend. He'd figured out how to get between them. He would use Triple H's latent thirst for a title and Shawn Michaels' assumption that his friend would just be there to carry his bags, as he'd done in real life since they'd known each other. And Slaughter had it made. And then, of course, we had the match. They kind of made a laughing stock of Commissioner Slaughter and indeed a laughing stock of the European title when Shawn Michaels lay down in the ring. Triple H ran the ropes two or three times, quite histrionically like the Ultimate Warrior, and then made the fall. It was quite funny. Triple H burst into tears after the fact, giving it like the old, yo, Adrian, I did it. Shawn Michaels was carrying him on his shoulders and then they were laughing at Slaughter, so like they got one over on him. What's quite nasty about this is how Shawn won that belt that he was then only too happy to give up to his mate in a piss take. He convinced Vince McMahon the prior September that he should beat the British Bulldog in Birmingham at the one night only pay-per-view. The match that the British Bulldog, having already been informed that he was going to win, dedicated to his sister who was dying of cancer. So Shawn said, it should be me, brother. You should put me over. I'll give him the belt back in Manchester next April. We'll do a huge number for the rematch, Vince. We'll do a huge number. What about the cancer vignettes? Rematch. And Sean got his way because Sean always got his way. Bulldog lost. And then he never had to put the Bulldog over because Montreal happened. The Bulldog was gone. The Hearts were gone. So instead, he pissed about with his mate on television. And they made a little toy, a trinket, out of what was once a trophy. The European title only really mattered when it was with the British Bulldog or, of course, famous European D'Lo Brown. We all know that.
I often say, you know, if you want to read more about this or you know, find out the other entries on these lists, go to read it at whatculture.com. But I would really implore people to go and do it just for the visual image of the image you've used for Shawn Michaels lays down for Triple H, which just exemplifies them thinking, God, we're piss funny, lads. We are the guys in this locker room.
Yeah, they're just so funny. Like, I'm going to be like, I was 12, 13 when this was all happening. I thought they were great. But when you watch this and you watch the men that they became, you do look at it and you just say, oh, it's so funny. It's so fresh. It's so funny. Like, it makes you resent the 2006 DX reunion even more, I think.
Talk to me about Owen Hart beating Triple H.
Well, there's a theme occurring here, isn't there? And it's Triple H not losing belts. Again, learning from his best mate, Shawn Michaels, probably the grand champion of not losing championships. Triple H was injured, legitimately so, in a feud with Owen Hart. But again, DX still feuding with Commissioner Slaughter and still the last remaining Hart family member in Owen Hart. So they made a mockery of a title match that Triple H was supposed to have. Owen Hart comes out to the ring. He's ready for his match. And then Goldust, by then in the artist formerly known as Goldust period of his career, where he would just dress up as something weird every week. It was Vince McMahon's pop at high art a lot of the time. Like, go out there and read Green Eggs and Ham with a pair of fake tits on. Like, that's what Damien Hirst likes, isn't it, pal? Like, that was his idea for Goldust. And Goldust dressed as Hunter Hearst Helmsley, lost to Owen Hart. And then Slaughter did sort of get one over on DX by saying, oh, well, look, all I saw was Owen Hart beat a guy and that's a Triple H. So, Josh, pal, you lose a title. Triple H actually lost the belt. So Owen Hart did get his comeuppance. The rematch was at WrestleMania for the European title. The Triple H won. And that's the match that anybody remembers. So, he's all right, bless him. Yeah. He got a Triple H. He got his comeuppance in the end, didn't he? Because,
But there's a great through line here. We go Triple H, Owen Hart. And let's talk about Owen Hart losing a title in a match he's not in, but is in.
Yeah, this match features Diesel, so naturally it's brilliant. I've got good things to say about it. This is bad. This is a bad one. I say this with a glint in my eye because I was deep, deep, deep into my adoration of Big Daddy Cool at this point, but this was a cheeky one. WWE at SummerSlam 95 had the goal to promote Diesel versus Mabel as a world title match. And then seemingly apologetically in the postscript of that show they had called SummerSlam Plus, President Gorilla Monsoon came in an interview and Todd was there. What do you think of SummerSlam? And Gorilla Monsoon lied, saying it was amazing. And he said, and please join us next month on pay-per-view because I'm going to guarantee you a title change. And Todd and me and everybody else, what? He's like, yeah, world champion, intercontinental champion versus the tag champions. Winning pinfall wins that belt. It is as simple as that. It just so happened that best friends and backstage bosses, effectively, Diesel and Shawn Michaels were the world and intercontinental champion, and Owen Hart and Yokozuna were the tag champions. Perfect. You've got heels, you've got baby faces, you've got a title that is definitely going to change hands. By the pay-per-view, Nitro's just debuted. We're a little bit panicked. By the pay-per-view, a champion is going to be crowned. Then on the night, Owen Hart got stuck in bloody traffic, didn't he? Got stuck in traffic. Gorilla Monsoon, the fan-friendly president, was like, all right, Davey Boy Smith can enter the match. And then my stipulation, my promise to the fans is not going to be broken by you, Jim Cornette, scripted character. You're not going to break this promise that we made to these paying customers. So we have Bulldog versus Yoko. So you know the match is going. It's a great match. I recommend it on the network, In Your House 3's headliner, if you fancy. Then Owen Hart apparently gets to the building, runs in the ring, runs straight into a jackknife from Diesel, like instantly into a jackknife. I think he dives off the top rope with an axe handle, which Diesel catches and just jackknifes him. The referee takes a look and just thinks, oh, he's in the match now. That's fine. See? And Diesel pins him. Show goes off the air with the baby faces holding, brilliant this, holding up one tag belt between them, because obviously Owens was in the boot of his car, wasn't it? So Bulldog didn't have a tag belt to go. So like already you're like, this isn't right. This isn't very good. And then the belts were returned to Owen and Yoko on Raw. This is great. On Raw the next night, which is now competing with Nitro and under pressure for the first time in its life, the belts returned to Owen and Yoko. Oh, no, you bloody swines. And then the Smoking Guns won them, as if to say, like, oh, we got them in the end. Thanks for buying the show last night. You saw it for free, but we got them in the end.
Just massive championship bait and switches. You wouldn't get it nowadays, Michael.
This is the thing, right? This it's every entry, like the shorthand for this is, well, they did some dirty bollocks. Because it's not on. Like, we mock it now because it's bad form. It degenerates the belts that if you're not fighting for them, wrestling can't really exist. It's the old adage about men with no trousers fighting for things that keep them up. They just become props. They've got to be championships.
Well, let's conclude by talking about the good old days of the Attitude Era and the women's title, which was held in such high regard.
Oh, God. I was hoping, because we'd got that far into the podcast, and obviously I know what's in this list. I thought, oh, maybe he's just going to dodge that one. Maybe.
No, I've been seeing on this one.
How do I, when on the 5-star review here on the Raw podcast, how do I often have to start my little synopsis? It was a different time, Wilbon. A different time. 1999, everything's mad. Vince Russo's booking, hates women, crash TV.
Doesn't hate all women.
Well, Sable he hates, but then apparently everybody else did too. She was, by this point, as every male in the locker room will tell you, because they certainly don't have egos, apparently her ego was out of control because she'd had a hugely successful Playboy spread that April. She was probably the biggest star in that company outside of Austin and The Rock themselves. And the men didn't like a bloody woman making a success of herself, and she wanted to spread her wings a little bit. As well, you might do if your primary industry was pro wrestling, if you get out of it as soon as you could. And she wasn't particularly keen on taking bumps. She still had the women's title, and that was a problem they needed to fix. To do that, out she went in a bikini contest, an evening gown match where, of course, the winner has to disrobe the loser. That is sadly like the most common aspect of the story, because one of them was happening every other week on Raw. That's not like now, it'd be like Charlotte defended a title in an evening gown match. Are you kidding me? I'd be more shocked then if it was a wrestler match, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah.
She defends it in an evening gown match. She pulls Deborah's clothes off. Sable, the superstar, has won again. But she didn't fathom Commissioner Shawn Michaels' new ruling on evening gown matches. He said that Deborah's looking hotter than you right now because she's got no clothes on. Do you not understand what women are for, Sable? They're for looking at. They're for ogling. They're for objectifying. I can't objectify you. This is a quote from him. I've seen it all already. She was she was now being punished for the magazine she posed for because this company despises women. He ripped the title from her hands, handed it to Deborah. Sable was as good as gone from the company, and Deborah couldn't work, so it was never defended in proper matches.
Just flabbergasting that this actually went down. I mean, we all know about Vince and Vince's white panties obsession with Sable. But so, like, surely that you can never have another evening gown match in theory off the back of that. Or if you do, it's not, you know, strip your opponent. It's look the best when naked, effectively.
It's one of their moments, isn't it, where a decision is going to be taken that theoretically change everything you know about that specific stipulation. Remember that time when one of the Funkadactyls tried to pin, I think it was Cameron, wanted to pin somebody by pinning their back instead. What if what if the referee had gone with it? Does that then undermine every wrestling match going forward and every single one that came before it? There's a big moment there, isn't there?
Well, that can...
Yeah, there's quite a big turning point in wrestling's history if the referee registers the three. Luckily, evening gowns would be confined to the bin eventually. And yet, as far as I remember, and my memory's half decent for pro wrestling, if you can call it that, I don't recall another evening gown being fought under these rules again. So this must have just been like a Shawn Michaels Only, I mean, you know, Shawn Michaels is famed for being able to see things a number of different ways, isn't he? So maybe that was just a Commissioner Michaels call.
You say this, but I was just had a horrible feeling this is the direction Charlotte Flair and Lacey Evans are heading in towards WrestleMania. So,
oh God, Ric Flair, the acting commissioner for the night, is asked to pick who's the winner and loser when his daughter and his current hotel lay are dressed in evening gowns. Oh, Rick, he's the hottest. Your choice.
Well, there we go. There are some ridiculous ways WWE champions lost their titles. As I said, you want to read more about this, read some of the entries that we haven't had time to speak about. That list is available at whatculture.com right now. Let us know what your favourites are, what you think we may have missed out on Twitter, at whatculturewwe. Watch, so you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. You can follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Whole load of more lists up at WhatCulture.com as well if you like that sort of thing. But make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. But this has been the Top 10 Debate. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us and we will see you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.